I think part of the goodness of moonlighting was that ongoing sexual tension, David Madeline thing, right?
Yeah.
You kind of had. So I think you miss that if you just drop in on it and go, yeah, let's just watch a random episode.
The storyline. Hey now!
What the hell was that? Actually, this.
This is built right into the soundboard.
What? The soundboard has it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This guy's your audio engineer?
Oh, that's great.
Hey, we've only had the board 5 years. We can't be expected to nobody's know it inside those buttons and out. Yet.
You ever try any of the buttons out on it?
I just did.
Wow.
Who knows what else this thing does? You think it records?
I'm guessing you can load them up.
Is that coming through your headphones or is that coming through my phone?
Yeah.
Well, now I don't understand what the hell's going on. It won't play sound except for if somebody calls me.
Well, that's your phone that's the problem then, isn't it?
It seems to be.
What's the number? We got to send the number out to people so that they know to call.
I don't want to give out my phone number. I don't have a Google Voice number yet.
You'll have all kinds of
Well, I mean, everyone that listens to this already probably has my phone number.
Yeah. Boy, are our numbers in the shitter.
Are they?
Yeah. Holy crap.
It feels like more people are listening, but
I don't know. It could get worse.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if that person was trying to call in. I'm going to find out.
They might have been.
Because they know I'm doing this right now.
Put them on the air. We'll have it out.
Actually, we should encourage people not to call in because that's one less listen then.
Yeah, speaking
of
which,
everyone's calling in. No one's going
to
be listening.
I was listening to the Whitney Cummings episode, and during the part where Bill calls me so we can see if it works or not, there's an echo. Have you listened to the Jerry Seinfeld one that's coming out later today yet? Have you? Because is there an echo?
The only thing I listen to is the bit where I cut the fuck.
But did you hear Bill talk at all, right, when you were cutting it? Yeah, you had to have heard it at least like a second of Bill talking. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. Oh, they were calling. Okay.
I do want to do that. I do want to do that isolation track experiment.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Now's the time to experiment. Well, the numbers are low. Once it blows up, then you're not going to be able to fuck around. You're going to have to deliver every week.
All right. Is this working? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Who are we talking to? Who's calling, please?
It's not coming through the board.
It's Borky?
Yeah.
Hey.
But it's not.
Can you hear me?
See, this isn't working.
I just had soup.
Well, I have a question. Would you mind asking them?
I can hear her. I can hear it. It's very faintly. It sounds like you're trapped in a closet.
I'm just going to put the speakerphone up to the. Yeah, okay. Where does the sound come out?
Okay. My question, maybe this will get your review juices flowing, is that there are currently 9 members of the Lincoln Lodge Comedy Showcase who rotate performing every Friday and Saturday. Who out of the 9 cast members does your favorite 10-minute set right now, and why?
Oh, well, I this is probably not a question for me. I've only been to a few shows.
You would have seen 2 or 3 of them.
Not a fan of the Lincoln Lodge is what I'm hearing.
No, not true. Not true.
You saw a
Is this question for me?
Yeah.
Who's my favorite?
It's not for me because I don't like any of them.
Well, you can't. You don't want to express your opinion and, you know, play favorites.
Oh, no, I do like to do that, just to needle people. You would have seen, I would feel like you saw Beth Stelling, right?
Yeah, I saw Beth Stelling.
So
she was wonderful.
Deanna's bound Deanna. To have put herself in the show.
She was in there, yeah. She was the host. I saw the Bulldog twins.
Yeah, but they're not on the cast.
They should be.
Scanlon, you know, he did your show.
I didn't see the Scan Man.
No, but you've seen him do
I've
your
seen him
show.
Before, yeah,
I've seen
10
him walk
years
around.
Ago.
So who's on the bloody cast?
Yeah, okay, it's Jarrell.
Jenna?
Yeah, there's Dan Dries, Kyle Scanlon, Chris Higgins, Jarrell Scott Barnes, Mike Atchison, Deanna Ortiz, Jenna Gephardt, Lucia Whalen, and Sam Rocha.
I saw Jenna that night. Yeah. And I saw a black gal. Can I say that? Do I have to cut that out? Do I have to be edited? A black gal.
I believe that's okay.
The black gal in question was not on the cast.
Okay. I don't know. Who else? That's it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pick.
Well, I don't want to offend
so go.
The one person that I don't pick, but I rather appreciated the filthy humor of... What's that?
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
I appreciated the filthy humor of Jenna Gephardt.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. I was going to just guess Jenna.
Thought she had some ribald jokes that, you know, thought were very good. I don't remember them at this time, but yeah, I thought she was a talented comedian.
I'm going to say Deanna so I don't have to deal with 87 texts at some point in the near future.
About why you didn't pick her?
Yeah.
And the second part to the question was why? Well, I guess you said, oh, well, I guess you both gave a reason why.
Yeah.
You don't want the texts and you like the filth.
I don't want to be nagged. He likes filth. Mm.
But I love the Scan Man, for the record.
Yeah.
I just didn't see him perform that.
No, right? It's a tough choice. I mean, they're all, they all bring something to the table.
I saw the Scan Man about 8 years ago up at the Four Trades Tavern.
Well.
What?
Nothing.
What
did
that? He just mouthed something. Can I get on the cast, or am I too old to be on the cast?
Yeah, you're not ticking any DEI boxes.
Well, anymore. I actually am. I could be the older fella.
Yeah, yeah.
You do need an older guy here. Yeah. Or I'm going to put in a complaint to the city. Who would I complain to for not being... Okay. Well.
No, I'm going to rip that. That's going out.
Now, Borky, which one is yours?
Borky, you're still there?
Yeah, I didn't know whether it was polite or not to hang up.
No, it would have been impolite.
Something else. My favorite, I'll just say Jarrell. Jarrell's my favorite. He makes me laugh every time I see him.
I don't know no Jarrell. Bro, this got some kind of like a brick of something in here.
Is it cheese?
I don't know, but I'm going to try it.
It looks like it came from bloody Scarface.
All right, we lost our caller. Hang up.
Scarface?
Yeah.
I'm going to eat this right now. Yeah. Thank you to my friend Christian who brought empanada.
Absolutely. Yeah. That comes from El Cubanito on Pulaski and Wrightwood. It's a place that I've been biking past every day for, 4 or 5 years now? And it's got a big sign outside, you know, Cuban sandwiches, but it's a very old sign, so I always thought it was closed.
What does that run you?
It was $4.25.
A pop?
Okay. Yep, for each empanada.
That's not cheap for over on Pulaski. You think when you get over to Pulaski, it'd be a little cheaper?
Yeah, according to reviews, they're high quality. So,
well,
I'm hoping that's it.
I'm here to say.
Yeah, what do you think?
We're very high quality.
Can you confirm? All right, good. Yeah. I don't really know exactly how much each one was. I just asked for four things, and he said it was $17. So
it's bigger. $4 because they've got about half a pound of sugar on the bastard, by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a funnel cake.
It is. That's unbelievable.
A little cheese in it.
But it's funny. I was always wishing this place would be open because I was thinking that'd be a great place to stop and get a sandwich on my way home from work, etc. And always just went right by it thinking, man, that would be great. It's been open this whole time. I just saw people walking out the other day, and I asked Alberto downstairs. I said, you ever been to that Cuban? He said, yeah, the place is great.
I know Alberto.
I went inside today. And it's fully staffed. It's got a car. It's got an old vintage car as the counter, as the front counter. It's a cool spot.
Damn, it's good.
Yeah, everyone says great Cuban sandwiches. Good. What are they called? What's the Puerto Rican sandwiches? The plantains, the jibaritos.
Jibarito. That's Puerto Rican.
Yep. Isn't that what I said?
Oh, I didn't hear. No, I just lost.
But that's what I've been told. So now this opens up a whole new world for me of a place to stop and get a sandwich.
Can I just be contrarian for
a second?
Of course
you can. Yeah, of course, Mark.
All a Cuban sandwiches is a ham and cheese sandwich with a fancy name. End of.
No.
Oh, well, I had a rebuttal, but I guess it's end of, so it's over.
It's got gross pork on it.
That's what I was going to add. No, but there's gross pork on it.
It's got a pork.
Gross
white
pork.
It's two different kinds. It's got the pulled pork. But it's not the barbecue pulled pork. It's just like, you know, a pork shoulder.
Like it's pork cooked in a microwave. It's
boiled.
Beige pork.
That's how my Irish family always cooked everything growing up, was just throw it all in a pot and boil it. Boiled chicken.
Gross.
Boiled cabbage. Boiled everything. Boil the hell out of it. I never knew chicken could be juicy and tender until I was like 22, 23 years old.
Yeah, it can. Yeah.
I always thought it was just dry and you had to have a swig of milk just to get it down.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of food out there that
there
you
is
probably
all
don't know
of,
about
yeah.
outside of boiled meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it gives the Irish something else to complain about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm eating this delicious.
It's more like a donut.
Hey, that's not.
It is.
I got you guys a gift when I was in Spain.
You did bring us something.
Yep, I brought you something back. Oh, Oh, look at that toss. That was perfect. That was right in the numbers.
Oh, my.
Yep, I bought these off a street performer.
I love it. Look, it's kind of like it's like
a mini me.
It's like it matches the rest of them.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I like reggae colors. What did you get?
Reggae.
Same thing. Same one? Yeah, I just got. Yeah. I gave him a few euro for a couple of them.
All right. Tell us about the trip. We were.
Oh, it was great. What's there to say? You know.
Well, a lot.
Great,
I think.
Great people. Great food. The beach was a blast. I went to a flamenco show. I was on a roller coaster in the mountains.
Mm.
Saw the Goya black paintings at the museum.
I'm not familiar with his work. Francisco.
Yeah,
Goya.
I guess they were all painted on his house when he became an old man. He was going deaf, and he just painted on his walls, and they eventually transferred them to this museum.
That's cool.
Painter and Mexican food purveyor. Yeah,
that's
busy
right.
Bloke.
Yeah, he was.
Goya?
He was painting and canning
pinto
beans.
He's not tied
to
that Mexican food thing, I don't
think. Painting and pintos. That was his slogan.
No, look, next time you're in Jules, racks of Goya.
Yeah,
I know. I don't think it's him.
I'm pretty sure. Can't be that many Goyas.
No, there can't. It has to be the same guy. There's only one Goya, and he did all that. But yeah, it was great. I met a hilarious dude named Miguel that owns a cocktail bar. He likes to flip the tins in the air and catch them. So naturally, I was drawn to that sort of fanfare.
Did you travel in a bohemian fashion, or were you living high off the hog?
The hotel.
La vida loca, as they would say.
No, what do you mean bohemian fashion? I just go with a backpack and kind of like
bohemian. Yeah,
rewear the clothes that I've worn the least and.
You weren't posh boxing over there.
No, not at all. Although when we were in Madrid, the Hotel Europa is where we stayed, and that one we spent a little extra money, just kind of like, come on, you know, we're on vacation, let's at least have like a good time at some hotel. And that one, that I'm not used to a nice hotel, and that place was great. It had a balcony that looked over this huge square. It was great. It had a piano in the lobby too. I put a little concert on for everybody.
You didn't do like the youth hostel with 17-year-old German youths.
No.
The Germans love it.
Didn't
playing
really appeal.
Techno music till 3 a.m.
No, wasn't. That's not quite my thing. Yeah, but no, it was. Spain is a wonderful place. The food. Oh my God.
Are you comfortable in like fine dining and fine hotels and things like that? I'm not.
Yeah, because I've worked in fine dining restaurants, so I can I can blend in, you know.
It's not a matter for me. It's not a matter of blending in or like knowing the social graces of being in such a place. It's just more. I'm just not comfortable. I don't want to. Yeah. It
you know
feels
what?
Too expensive, and I want to get the fuck out of there.
That's that's. I can identify with that. For instance, there was one night, the hotel room that I said that we had the balcony. We were on our way back, and I said, "Let's grab a bottle of wine." I got back there and realized, "Oh, I don't have a corkscrew. You know, an opener." So. I call the front desk. They're like, "Yeah, just bring it down to the restaurant, and they'll open for you at the restaurant." I said, "Great." So I go down there, and I feel uncomfortable even like getting an Uber. You know, like sitting in the back seat, like I'm sorry that you're driving me somewhere.
Yes,
you know, thank you for doing this. I feel really bad. You know,
exactly.
And so I'm down there, and I walk up to the bar, and some server, "Hey, yeah, I'll open that for you." And he cuts off the little tinfoil top. You know, but it fell on the ground, and as he's opening it, I bent over to pick it up for him, and he put his foot over it. And he goes, "No." You know, because he's very used to, like, no, like, we are here to serve. But I was very uncomfortable. Like, dude, I mean, come on, you know, I'll pick that up for you.
Wouldn't let you.
No, wouldn't let me.
Then it was even more awkward.
And then I felt
that.
Like I was offending him. So I said, okay. Yeah. I said, all right, okay, fine.
Mm. So going in a toilet where there's an attendant is the worst thing in the goddamn world.
There was, I was at.
What do you do in that situation? Do you act like they're not there and just walk
avoid
out?
Avoid all eye contact. You've got to slide the dollar in, even though every part of your being is like, God, just avoid the contact, slide the dollar, and get the Jeff out.
I was at Howl at the Moon one time, and I walked in, and there was a bathroom attendant. And I'm,
what? There?
Yeah, and I'm standing there at the urinal, and I'm thinking, like, man, I only have 20s in my wallet, you know. I'm not giving the guy a 20. I don't want to give him anything. I just want to wash my hands and get out of there like everybody else does. I don't want to give him a 20. I also don't want to like make change in his basket of poo dollars that he's got over here, you know? And I'm thinking about like, I'm like, you know what? Just man up. Just like walk up, say no thank you, wash your hands on your own. And I'm getting myself prepped for this whole interaction, right? I'm rehearsing, you know? I turn around, I start to go do it. And this guy that's walking in, there's a flight of stairs right outside. He tripped down the stairs and smacked his head on the corner of the door.
Perfect.
Blood starts going everywhere.
What?
That's what I said. I said, perfect. I stepped over him. Everybody started freaking out. And I washed my hands and got the hell out of there.
What a great diversion.
One of the other things I'll do as well is prolong the piss in hopes that high traffic,
yeah,
a high traffic situation envelops, and you can just kind of slide through the traffic.
Yes, yeah, it's all very stressful. It shouldn't be that, right?
And for what?
For a buck.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys now take the Zelle or the Venmo.
Yeah.
You know, they got the QR code, so you can
whip your phone out and yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else over there? You know, I forewarned you about taking too much drug over there.
Yeah, I didn't take any drugs. Oh, I did. I did buy some fake marijuana. I mean, it was like from a store. It wasn't from a guy in the street. But I was like,
oh, you got taken for a ride?
No. It was exactly what he said. He's like, it's like the THC 9. Yeah, it's like that stuff. You know, I was like, oh, what the hell? It's only a few euros.
Like, it's not legal.
I'll give it a shot. I don't know. And what? So I was actually surprised it was there. And so I was asking the guy, and he's like, yeah, this is legal, but just don't like walk around the street smoking it. So
this is where?
In Barcelona. And so I waited till I was like in, you know, some park by myself, and I rolled up a little dube and fired it up, and it wasn't very good. I didn't finish it.
You get a buzz or anything?
Kind of, I guess. It was nothing.
Yeah. Yesterday I was thinking about smoking CBD hemp. Have you ever tried that?
I don't think
Willie
I have.
Willie Nelson has a line of...
Yeah, that became very popular.
Smoking that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah? I think people more took it like in pill form or whatever, like an edible or something.
Well, the CBD stuff, yeah, but what about smoking hemp?
Isn't that something they did... Like during like hippie days,
I think.
But didn't you have to like smoke a ton of it just to get a buzz?
Yeah, it's not going to give you like
to get the high that you're looking for.
Yeah, it's more of a relaxing thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that just what smoking in general is for anyway?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but
nothing more relaxing than filling your lungs full of toxins.
Yeah, for some reason it is relaxing. Yeah. You know. All right. So all you didn't get rolled over there or lose your passport or
no. No, everything went smooth. Took the train from Barcelona to Madrid and back. Yeah.
Well,
it's all about just keeping everything in one little area. You know, you got to keep tabs on everything. And
my headphones.
You can't get sloppy. And
you need a new pair? I think you just stood on. Oh, did I step on them? Oh, fuck.
The connector.
You two carry on.
Yeah.
You carry on.
Yeah. So, no lost passport. I tried to go to a Barcelona football club match.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just go sit at like some cafe by, because like tickets were like $500 to go to this match, right?
What?
Yeah. And so I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to go that bad. So I'll just go like, you know, I'm thinking like Wrigleyville, you know, like I'll just go somewhere nearby, be part of the action. And so I did. I went to this place, got a, you know, lunch or whatever. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching on the TV and I'm swear I can hear the crowd outside cheering, you know, and I only stayed around for the beginning of it. But then it kind of dawned on me later that the place was under construction. I don't think there was a crowd there. I think I was just watching it on TV at a bar.
What?
Well, were they at home or away?
Well, maybe that was it too.
Jesus. Yeah. You were on smoking Delta 9.
They were home. I did look that up. I looked it up. I know that they were at home, but I don't know if they were playing in that stadium because somebody did.
And you were near the stadium thinking you could hear the roar of the crowd?
Yeah, so I don't know if I was tricking myself or if I actually did hear it.
But then it dawned on you that you might have just been hearing construction?
It dawned on me that I didn't see a lot of people around.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really know what happened.
Sounds like that Delta 9.
What date was it?
Oh, Christ. It was the Saturday that I was there. So what was that? The 25th or something like that?
They were away.
No way.
Yeah.
Christ. Well, so I guess that answers that.
They were away to Getafe.
No, okay. Was that Saturday? That's a Saturday?
Saturday, April 25th.
Okay.
Full time. Barcelona 2, Getafe 0-0.
Is Getafe's colors blue and white?
Yes.
Okay, I saw a bunch of those fans there. Well, this is really putting some puzzle pieces together.
You were,
and I was not smoking Delta 9 that day.
Yeah,
I was just regular old dumb.
Hey, look at this. Do you think this will hold the hot dogs?
Anything will hold the hot dogs.
Think we can get the hot dogs in there? It looks too shallow. No.
No, they'll bend.
I
don't
want
to bend them.
Hot dogs bend, don't break.
So. While you were gone, we didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just sitting around here, waiting for you to get back for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So him and I went to a Cubs game together.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, and you're talking about how to get hot dogs inside the game.
Yeah.
So, or you know, out of the game.
I don't think I brought anything that day because I had to come from work, but usually I bring that big lunch pail. And he gave me a great idea that we can bring hot dogs into the game by filling a thermos full of hot water, boiling water, and then put the hot dogs into the thermos.
That's not where I thought you were going to go. All right. The water?
Yep.
Why water?
Keep them hot because to keep them hot, boil them. Yeah. In
but why can't you just put the hot dogs into a thermos and that will keep hot?
No, why it's like, why do you like, have like hot if you water? Bought it from a street vendor.
That sounds gross. Yeah.
They would come. They would pull them out of the water, like in New York City, right?
Yeah.
Keep them nice and hot. Not going to stay that hot. And then we'd bring the buns on the side and the condiments, and
right.
make our own hot dogs at the game.
Did you try this?
No, then? Because I didn't. I wasn't able to do it that day. But I'm starting to get things ready for it.
I want
to
see how this goes.
Yeah.
I don't. I just don't. I don't. I guess. Okay, fine. The water. Yeah, I guess. But
do the old scroats make you show them what's in the container? Well, that's going to be the challenge.
The scroats usually don't stop me at all to look in the cooler. I sling it around my back and I come in right at them like this.
Yeah.
You know, and I have it strapped across my front.
It's
and the thing
about
on the back.
Confidence. Yeah.
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 So they never really stopped me, but
even if
they could,
even if they did, though, you're allowed to bring food in.
Yep.
You know, they're probably just looking for booze in the thermos, and once they see it's hot dogs,
I don't think they can stop us.
You're good to go.
I just worry about the thermos being like a weapon.
Yeah.
So we might need to get like a plastic one. You know what I mean? Like one of those plastic.
They're not
going
to do thermos as a weapon.
Well, I talked to the guy about glass. He's like, "Yeah, we really don't want you to bring glass in here."
That's different. Glass breaks. The thermos isn't going to break.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're good.
Yeah. I like this idea.
Yeah.
I changed my mind. I'm behind it.
Okay. So we went to the Cubs game. That was nice, right?
How was
it? Did you ever take soup in?
I've not yet, but I will. Maybe tonight I'll bring some soup.
Soup in a blanket tonight.
Put the hot dogs in the soup.
Yeah. Put the hot dogs in the soup.
Now we're talking.
Cut them up small. No, I just want people.
Put the lotion in the basket.
People are always looking at me as I pull. Like the other night, I had this really nice sandwich on that nice publican bread. I was eating that, and people are watching everything that comes out of the cooler. Like, what the fuck has this guy got? He's got all this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they probably wanted some
cheese and crackers, carrots and stuff. And then I just want. The day we bring the hot dogs, I want people's minds to be fucking blown. I want to get like a little tongs too.
Yeah.
To like pull them out and like make them and then like, hey, want a hot dog over there?
Their minds will be blown.
We even yell out hot dogs.
Don't
hot dogs! Your hot dog. Boiled hot dogs. Fresh. Boiled here in the seat.
What if you started selling the hot dogs?
Yeah, I think that would run afoul. That,
right.
Ballpark operations.
Then he'd be running into some
trouble.
The
scroats definitely aren't digging that.
It's going to get a lot of looks, that hot dog thing. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
You get a little clip-on metal tray to put the thing in front of you as well.
That's the next frontier is bringing flatware and trays and all this kind of stuff. You know,
that's,
not a lot of room there.
I like that.
You know? But yeah, big things happening over at that stadium. This team is special.
Huh.
Special.
I've heard that they've been on kind of a run.
Kind of. They had a 10-game winning streak, lost a couple. Now they're back on a 7-game winning streak, have won 13 straight at Wrigley. Can't lose over there.
So when you went to the Cubs game, they played at home.
Yeah.
That must be way better.
Yeah. What do you think? We traveled? What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Barcelona game.
Oh, wow.
It was definitely an away game.
I can't believe that. Jesus Christ. I took the train all the way there. I made a whole point of it and everything. I went to the little store.
Nobody was there.
I went to the store and bought souvenirs for my sisters and everything.
Well,
that was worth it, I guess. But
in fact, and it wasn't even like it was the third tier. So you know, most European cities have multiple football teams.
Right.
The team they were playing is Madrid's third best team.
Yeah.
So not Real Madrid. Not who's the
No. I saw the Barcelona.
Right, they were playing a team from Madrid.
Okay, yeah,
on
right.
The telly.
Okay, yeah.
So the game was in Madrid.
And then I went there the next day.
Yeah. So you missed it by a day.
Yep.
You must have been three sheets to the wind.
No, stone cold sober, just making the wrong decisions.
Okay.
You know what though? I had a good time. It was the right decision. I had some good food too.
You saved a lot of money.
I did,
going over there when there was no game.
Can you imagine if I bought a ticket?
Yeah. To an away game? Walking in there, I was like, where is it? The first guy here?
Wow. I thought there'd be more people
here. Things about to start.
Where's the team?
What else did we do while he was gone? How was the break? It was difficult for me. I feel like I sunk into a depression.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really, because I came out of one.
Oh.
No, you swapped.
Yeah, I feel like there was something missing in my life.
Then I plummeted back into one because I did an interview for, you know, that Comedy Gazelle.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be done and dusted, 20 minutes, half hour.
You were interviewed?
2 hours.
Oh, my God.
A two-hour interview?
Can you imagine what my brain was like that night?
Who interviewed you for what?
There's a guy who runs like an online comedy thing in Chicago called the Comedy Gazelle. And every year the Lincoln Lodge wins best club because it's voted for by the comedians.
Yeah.
They're always like, well, that's the place that lets me do what I want and gives me
money. So you got that one and the Reader.
Yeah, so we Gazelle, we've done like, what, four in a row?
Oh, yeah, four in a row.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I've never really met the guy until he sat there and I sat here.
Are you talking about Greg?
In here you had the interview?
Yeah.
Really? Did you tell him about the podcast that we do?
Yeah.
Right, yeah?
At the end, yeah. So that's going to bolt on a couple of hundred.
It's going to be out there? Yeah.
Actually, no, I didn't tell him in here. I told him out in the corridor just as we were leaving, so okay. It probably isn't.
What did he say? Like, hey, so you ever perform or anything like that?
I think it sort of came up. You know, general, how did you get into this?
Yeah.
But you know me, I like to focus in on the issues. So I talk more about
the mechanics
of running a place and being a non-profit.
So is this interview going to be released in print form or?
He did record it.
Yeah.
He said he's trying to get into more, obviously, multimedia.
Yeah. Now you can just record something and then it transcribes it. It's like, you don't have to fucking type it up.
Yep.
Pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Well, that must have sent you into a fucking deep depression.
That was bruising.
What caused it to be 2 hours? Was it his question asking or was it?
I don't know if it's my.
Yeah, you get going.
Yeah.
Like an old bird.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you got lots of stories, you know?
Yeah, what were you talking about? Like the history of this place and all the people that came through and all that? Or your take on
I try to keep it
American
away
comedy.
From that. I try to get my opinions wedged in there more than anything.
Yeah. You're giving up your opinions?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to know the famous TJ Miller neck brace story, so we had to go through that.
I'll have to listen to find out.
Yeah.
I don't
want to preempt.
What did he ask about me, if he knew me?
I don't want to say anything because I don't want to destroy his listenership in the way that destroyed us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Take that as a yes.
Yeah. It's a 90 minutes of it were about Bill.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I got many notes there.
No, this is a backside.
All right.
Did you draw anything this time?
No.
That would have been a tough draw.
Yeah. I purposely did not draw because I thought the same thing. Yeah. Good. Well, you were very excited to see today's comedian, Steph Tolev.
Mm-hmm.
You had heard of her before?
Right then when you sent the text message.
No, you know, you said, oh, I hear she's amazing things. Yeah. I can't wait to see. Are you bullshitting me?
Maybe.
That was a bullshit job? Why do you do that? What? Why do you keep signaling to him in weird ways, like American Sign Language over here?
He said he'd heard great things because I told him it was the biggest pile of shit I'd ever seen.
Oh, already? You'd already watched it?
I got 8 minutes into it. Well, on first attempt.
Oh, my. Really? And then you're not supposed to sully somebody's opinion with your own?
I know. That's why
it was insider trading.
So you're fucking with me. I was like, yeah, oh, was great. So when did you watch this? A couple of days ago?
No, I only watched it yesterday. I watched the first 8 minutes 3 weeks ago. It's taken me 3 weeks to pick the remote up and go.
To finish it?
Here we go then.
Oh, so you finished it yesterday, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had heard about this comedian from one of our listeners, Allison Booth.
Is she 13 years old?
No. Yeah, she's a middle-aged gal, two teenage sons, who likes comedy, watches a lot of comedy. She said, you guys are really got to watch her. Told my wife and I would really love to watch her, or really love it. Love her if we watched her.
Yeah.
And so I put that one in the back of my brain. And when you gave me a hard time about not liking women, I pulled it up.
Oh, we forgot to bring the stats again.
The what? Geez. Oh, yeah, the stats about how...
stats are horrendous.
Oh.
I'm expecting a surprise. He skews everything. I'm expecting there's a surprise that... I'm expecting that I've picked a lot of white males.
Yeah, you have.
I'm expecting a twist ending to this.
You've only picked white males, I think, except for Patrice O'Neill. It's going to be that I'm the one who's chosen the most diverse lineup of comedians.
I shared the Google Doc to you, didn't I? I thought I did.
I don't know.
I didn't.
That bracelet really fits the rest of them. I was thinking, I don't think Mark's ever going to wear it, but I didn't
wearing
even,
it now.
I never noticed that you wear bracelets already, so this really makes me happy that it blends in so well.
And I use this, I'm going to use yours as well. Mine, when I'm golfing.
What do you use it for?
This is a reminder. So when I address the ball and I take the club and I look down and I see that thing, it's a reminder because I got mine from a Buddhist monk on the streets of Seattle.
Oh.
And it's just a reminder to me to bring the club back slow.
Yeah.
Draw it back slow and breathe and take a nice easy swing.
So you got that going for you.
So Buddhist monks selling, they often sell.
He strong armed me into buying that too.
Yeah.
Aggressive
marks.
But
I'm not sure it's appropriate for a man of my significantly advanced years.
You look like a doper with that thing. Like you smoke a lot of dope.
Is this one of these festival things for like?
No, it was just
acid.
I don't think I think it was just a cheap thing for the street performer to make, and it was something that he could then entice people to tip him with. But I was already going to tip him, and then I said, hey, how much are those bracelets? He said, here, take a couple.
When my sister...
I love it.
My sister used to go to Turkey for a few years before she got up the stick anyway. And she used to do...
You know what that means, up the stick?
No.
Tell them what up the stick means.
With child.
Oh, okay.
And she used to like do this thing, you know, couriering tourists around on buses.
Mm.
But as a sideline, she made these little, you know... What's it to sell? Like the little
charm bracelets.
What do you call these things? Bracelets.
Jesus Christ!
But she made
them. Word for that in Britain.
She made them out of that banda material. You know the tough plastic that.
Yeah, that's
like
how
boondoggle.
They make
them.
Yeah,
right? Boondoggle-ish.
And then she would, you know, stitch the. And I'm like,
do they have boondoggle in England?
I don't know what boondoggle is.
You remember boondoggle?
Well, I know what a boondoggle is.
It's like plastic, like you make them when you're kids at like summer camp, like the plastic woven bracelets, necklaces, stuff
doing,
like that.
Yeah,
probably the same thing.
But she made it out of that banda material that they, you know, use to boxes that are really heavy.
Oh, like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what the term boondoggle means?
No.
So the term boondoggle is used to describe a situation or event where somebody, for instance, takes a work trip, goes to a conference for work,
mm-hmm.
right? And you say, I get this boondoggle trip, which means you're just taking the trip to get a free vacation
and
fuck around on the corporate dime. Yeah, it's a boondoggle.
It's just cocktail hour and strip clubs the whole time.
Boondoggle.
Oh, I've only known it as jewelry that you make when you're at summer camp.
Yeah, I never heard it for that term. All right.
Yeah.
Well, how long's your sister been up the stick?
That was 30 nearly.
Oh, okay. So she's had the baby.
It's been a long time.
It's a long time. Well, I guess we've already tipped our hands here, or I haven't, but in terms of Steph Tolev, I'm interested to see what Christian thinks, but we know how you feel about it. Had you heard of Steph Tolev before today? You have.
I'd heard her. She's just one of those other names where I'm like, I should really check her out, sort of thing.
She's an ascendant star in the comedy world, I would think. Yeah?
She's already a star, right?
I don't know if she's a star. I've never heard of her either, but I guess she's been opening up for Bill Burr for a while.
Yeah.
Along with Nate Craig.
Yeah, it's like Bill Burr became the harbinger of all comedy decisions.
He's got his finger in a lot of pies.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, I like the fact that the guy's looking back down the road and saying, okay, who can I pull up with me. I mean, that's great, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no financial.
I guess I'm insanely jealous that no one ever listened to a GD word I ever said about things. But whatever.
Is a comedy producer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would you say you discovered? I mean, I discovered Kumail when I was running the Red Line. Why are you laughing? I've never gotten credit for that, but I was the first one to put him up.
Yeah.
He couldn't get a sniff, and I said, "Ah, let's give this guy a chance." It's all documented. I gave him his first stage time at your Red Line, you know, that you beget to me. But
I thought it only lasted 7 weeks before you imploded.
Well, in those 7 weeks, I put up Kumail.
Lots happened. A lot can happen in almost 2 months.
And launched his career. Who would you say you discovered?
Yeah, you can't say discovered. It gets you in trouble.
No.
I can say who I threw Kumail. A lot of resource at.
Yeah. Who'd you throw a lot of resource
at? A lot of resource.
At a Cameron Esposito.
Cameron Esposito. A lot of resource.
Yeah. Yeah. Built her brand.
Threw a lot of resource at. Nah. Because I was more hands-off.
Ken Barnard.
Yeah. Ken Barnard.
Yeah.
A lot of
resource.
He owes
you a debt.
Yep. He wouldn't be coaching Little League hockey in Baltimore if it wasn't for me right now.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what?
Listen, you opened this can of worms saying, you know, was somebody listening to you? I think quite a few people have listened to you.
Yeah, I'd say the same. Mark just likes to be hard on himself.
Do you ever go Bert Haas with some of these performers and bring them up to the... the office.
There's
it's
no
like,
point.
Hey, listen, this is what you need to do to fix your act.
Most of them won't listen, so I kind of gave up on that years ago.
I told you the story about Bert Haas bringing me into the room and saying, yeah, he had some funny jokes, like the one with the wiffle ball and the vagina thing, the athlete's vagina. That's pretty good, but you don't have any identity. I was like, oh, okay. All right. So work on stuff and come back. See me in like 6 months.
I mean, that's a good.
You never
comment.
Gave any pearls.
That's good feedback.
It was good feedback, you know.
Yeah.
You never give those kind of sessions out.
Nope.
Okay. Well,
I'm not really an encourager of people.
Yeah.
As we know.
Yeah.
This honestly, if I thought someone would listen, I would say it.
What if I said I know somebody that wants to take this place over? Take it from you, run this thing like a proper business. Would you be interested in a sit down?
It's a non-profit. It isn't for sale.
Oh. You can't sell a non-profit?
I don't mind mentoring someone who wants to start a comedy club.
No, they want to take this operation over and make it,
okay.
What would we say, solvent?
So, all right, if they want to take over the presidency of the board, they're going to have to pony up 50 grand every year and take no money out.
Wait, the presidency of the board has to chip in 50 grand a year?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh. All right, I'll get back to you next week. We'll go back and...
So 50 grand in, zero out.
They just got to give 50 grand?
Well, give, get. It's called give, get. So you got to either find it
from
other sources.
Yeah. They got to come up with the 50 grand. Then they take over presidency of the board?
The board, and it's off to the races.
And then they can do whatever they want. They can you? Could the board can you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyone
you're beholden
can be
to the board.
Yeah. Board. Yeah.
Imagine that turn of events if you get the boot.
It'd be wild.
Yeah. I'd love
it. I don't see it happening.
<'Cause>
you'd love it. Well,
I mean, I keep saying things to get myself canceled, and I've said this
before.
Like
nobody's listening.
You can't get anybody to listen, though.
If they do listen, they just think I'm being like witty and ribald.
Ribald. It's ribald.
It's ribald.
Is it ribald?
Witty and charming is what they think I'm being.
You know what? I was talking to some listeners. I know you say we don't have many listeners, but I know quite a few, and they find you to be the best part of the show.
Really?
Yeah. Very funny and entertaining. You're the best part. I knew it when we started the show. If we could get you on this mic.
You know what I thought we should
have? No offense
to
you or me. But,
no,
you
know. None taken.
Every time I go home, part of my depression is, oh, God, you just never shut up.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe what you could do is you could operate a red light.
Which give him like the light?
Which is like a go.
Yeah.
No, it's like a green red.
Mm-hmm.
Green go, red shut up.
Why don't we just give you the light? Like
I would just leave it on green the whole time, though.
Like a comedian gets the light. That's enough.
No, you have to tell me. That's enough. Shut up.
Him? Why are you telling him, not me?
Because he's the tech.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the host.
I am.
I'm the...
I would forget, though. I would forget and you'd never get a word in.
You're the stern. I'm... what's his name?
You're Baba Booey. No, he's Baba Booey. You're
Jack, the
stuttering
joke
John.
Man. I'm the joke
Jackie
man.
Jackie the joke man. Martling.
Martling. Is he still alive?
I think. He got the boot from the show.
Did he?
Yeah. Right. I might get back into that this summer, Stern.
Yeah, you're a Sternite, aren't you?
Yeah. All right, before we go to Steph, I'm feeling summer. This is my last week of the semester, so I'm...
What?
Yep. Last classes this week. What are you looking forward to?
Jesus Christ, it's May.
Yeah, that's when college gets out. I don't know about uni, but college here gets out in May.
Till when?
August.
That's kind of early.
Holy
yeah,
crap.
So I'll be free from May to August.
Can you get
pretty
me
much
this gig? Can you get me in as a lecturer?
Yeah, you could do computer science.
Yeah,
you
just computer science and English.
You turn the green and red light on.
Teach old people to learn how to operate Microsoft Word.
So I use clip art.
Yeah, how to use clip art. No, all these jobs are going out the door with the AI.
Yeah, just ChatGPT is all you need.
Yeah.
You learn everything.
Yeah. But summer's on the horizon.
Yeah.
What are we looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. Jazzing at the Shed.
You're going to Jazzing at the
Shed? I love Jazzing at the Shed.
You do not.
Oh, my
silly.
God. Yes, I do.
You don't.
It's amazing. What are you talking about? What about me thinks I don't like Jazzing at the Shed?
I'll go to that.
Salt Shed or the Shed Aquarium?
No, the Shed Aquarium. He's bullshitting. Look at that.
They have a jazz band.
He's got over there.
Listen,
fucker.
What do you mean? You know I like music.
You do.
I have a fish tank. I have an affinity for fish.
How could you want to see fish caged up like that?
They, I'm glad you asked that. The fish that
you
they have
fish
at Jazz, they are being rehabilitated. Mm. Just like the Lincoln Park Zoo.
Not all of them.
Well, the ones that they can't put back out in the wild, no. Like that one turtle that got hit by a boat propeller that, if it was out in the wild, would die. So they do keep that one around.
Yeah. I don't like zoos and aquariums.
But playing it jazz is a bit cruel.
Why? You don't like jazz?
So it's suffered enough. Now it's got to listen
no,
to jazz.
No, please.
Yeah.
Jazz is great.
Jazz is abysmal.
Especially you take a couple mushroom caps, walk around.
Okay. It's a good time. I like a little, how about a little Miles Davis?
Jazz is the worst.
Bebop.
That's when you know middle age is upon you.
Yeah, when you start listening to jazz.
That's kind of funny. I've been taking jazz classes for a few years now.
Matt
that
Dwyer
just matches up.
You like jazz?
Matt Dwyer loved jazz.
He
I think,
did.
I think rest my case, Your Honor.
What about samba?
No.
No, not a samba guy.
Samba's one of them ones where you, for 3 minutes you're like, oh, this is all right. It's like surf guitar. 3 minutes of surf guitar, yes. 4 minutes of surf guitar, get me out of here.
Turn that red light on.
Yeah, hit the red light.
I had a mate who went to see Link Ray, and he did 2.5 hours of
Who's
surf.
Link Ray? Like Man Ray?
Link Ray.
Link Ray, you know.
No.
Like in, what's the one in
like
Pulp
Dick Dale?
Fiction?
That's Dick Dale.
In Pulp Fiction, yeah. It's surf guitar. He went to see Link Ray, 2.5 hours of surf guitar. Just basically
that
same goddamn song for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah, that's no fun.
All right, what are you going to do this summer?
I'm going back to work, dude.
You are?
Yeah.
Is it already done?
I'm going to be panhandling out the front of this place in half an hour.
Did you already make your move?
The feelers have been...
They're put out there?
Put out.
Cast.
Officially?
Yeah.
Any bites?
I did yesterday.
I just drove by that joint the other day on my way out to Libertyville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's where you go. That's where
itself.
You used to go, right?
Yep.
All right, well, I want to learn how to play bass guitar. Do you know how to play?
Yeah, I do.
Can
I
you show
you.
Me?
Yeah.
Would you really?
I used to teach bass guitar at the music school.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And just teach me some basic shit?
Yeah.
I'll pay you lessons, but you got to give me a deal.
No, let's just do a trade. Yeah. You know,
what
do
I got to teach you?
You teach me how to do something, I'll teach you how to do something.
I don't know how to do anything.
Teach me how to do that cool coif with your hair.
Yeah. Okay, I could do that.
Yeah.
This guy's minted. He paid $175 for some schmo to replace her.
Hey, that schmo? My wife
job.
Just texted him today because I was like, I can't have him come back. He overcharged me. The guys keep breaking my balls. She's like, give me that number. I need him to do fix the lights outside and some other thing. I don't know. So now he's coming back.
Yeah.
But what do I say to him? Hey, you overcharged me on the last job?
Wait till you see what you get charged for running conduit.
Oof.
Oof.
Oh.
Which I'm trying to...
Oh.
I'm doing dice to bring us back to the subject All right. in hand.
Well, can you do some of this? Can I pay one of you guys? You say you know so much. I got a couple things.
I bet me and him could piss it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. We'll pay you. Half of what Ruzneck gets.
You can get two for one. You can get a bass lesson and some electric work done.
Yeah. Nice.
At the same time.
You text her. Call us. Yeah. Stop with the Ruzneck. I got these guys going to do it.
Do you have a bass guitar yet?
I did, and I pawned it. Do you remember when I had that apartment over in Andersonville, and I had that comedy show in the apartment? And I had the bass guitar going, boom, 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 boom. But I pawned it because I needed the cash.
Yes.
Where do I get one?
A pawn shop.
Yeah? Is that a good place to go?
Honestly, I have bought plenty of instruments at pawn shops. And
the one you pawned is probably still there.
Yeah, sweet.
Or go on...
Only you would be as contrary enough to go, I want to take up an instrument. Let me take up the dumbest, stupidest one.
It's one of the most important instruments.
I thought it'd be a little easier than guitar. I can't...
Yeah, it is. I agree. Just one note at a time. I have trouble with the six-string guitar move.
I can't do the whole chords. Yeah,
it hurts.
I took a couple. Yeah.
Fretless bass. That's a skill.
Right. Yeah. You just got to pick a spot and hope it works.
What do you mean fretless bass?
No frets at all. It's just the string.
You just hit the
fingers.
Strings?
Yeah.
You don't have to press down?
No, you do have to press down, but you have to press down exactly where you need it.
Yeah.
Or else the pitch will be off. That's really difficult.
I'm not doing
like a cello. Think about that, you know?
Like yo-yo ma.
Yeah, but not quite like a cello because you're using your hand.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Will you let me sit in on some tunes with you?
Come to Galway Bay tonight. We have our open jam. I'll bring a bass guitar. You can sit there and not plug in and just try to play along.
Well, I don't want to ruin anything until I know how to play something.
No one will be able to hear you.
Sweet.
We need to get more people showing up anyway.
For the jam?
Yeah, we haven't been drawing enough of an audience to make it worth it.
I'm definitely going to be coming to that when I get the guitar.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. My wife already said I could get it, the guitar. I'd ask her permission. Like
or go on reverb.com and you can find somebody selling a used one and you can haggle with them and end up with a pretty decent bass for a good price.
I don't want anything nice.
You don't need anything nice. Just get a Fender.
Yeah.
Get a Fender jazz bass.
I'm going to go over to Guitar Center.
Yeah, you could do that too if you want to.
Get a nice
That's
new
the
one.
Easiest way.
All right. You want to get back on track here with Steph Tolev?
Mm-hmm.
I really want to hear what you have to say about the Filth Queen. Now, you know, this was chosen because, you know, there's this opinion that I like filth comedy. But I don't like all filth comedy. Let me just say that. When done right, do you think Steph Tolev in this special does filth comedy right? Because clearly it's filth comedy.
Yeah, I don't really like filth comedy.
You don't?
I like comedy that's witty, erudite, satirical.
Erudite.
Surreal.
Yes. Surreal. You like a surreal? Yeah, I like surreal comedy. This was kind of surreal at times.
The only time I've ever laughed at filth comedy, we've discussed this, Otto and George.
Yeah.
Because it's a ventriloquist dummy. It's...
Yeah, I want
to.
I think you
got to
choose that one of these times, Otto and George, so we can.
I don't think he ever did a special.
Oh. No. Well, Valby didn't either, but I unearthed that. Okay. All right. Steph Tolev, so you knew nothing. None of us. You knew nothing about her either.
Nothing. Nope.
I knew nothing about her. So we're going in blind here. And first thing I'm excited about is, did you like the opening with the doll getting thrown around, you know, of her? Remember, Bill Burr's like, get out of here. He pushes her, and she goes stumbling out, and then she's in Fenway
All
Park,
Boston.
And the doll's going over the railing at Fenway Park, and then she ends up in the Charles River, and it's like a dummy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that she was using the doll for the crashing.
Yeah, for all the pratfalling and stuff. But I like that this was, it made me think, I guess it does happen. This was held at, performed at the Paradise in Boston. Which is like one of Boston. It's like Boston's Metro.
So who have you seen there? Give us some color.
Oh, who have I seen there?
311 there in 94.
Yeah, probably 311.
Yeah.
What did I see? Veruca Salt, I think I saw there. They're a Boston band. Letters to Cleo. Anyway, what, the point is, this is a real rock club.
You know, is it?
That's, oh, yeah.
Okay. And oh, so that's why she had the amps in the background then.
Yeah. This is like a real rock club, like Metro. Can you think of another comedian who's performed in a real rock club? I know the Vic is a venue and things like that too, but like this is like, you never see a comedian at the Metro, do you?
No,
that's kind
really,
of a cool setting.
But we just we saw
Kinane there because
at the Metro.
Yeah, because Kinane was so such a Chicago kid, and he was just, I always wanted to do the Metro.
The Metro, yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Now he always does Talia Hall. Yeah, right.
Didn't we just we did a special not too long ago with that one of the comics did their I can't remember who it was, but did the special at a rock club.
One of the comics.
Yeah,
here?
I think it was an LA comic. Or at least the special was shot in LA.
One of the ones we watched?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Sam Kennison? No, that was at the Comedy Store or something. Mm. But just to see that, like to see it in a rock club, like to picture, you know, you could see the people up on the
the
balcony
and stuff, like leaning over. I thought that's pretty cool, right? Like because if you take the atmosphere of a concert venue, which is great for comedy, right? But then you take the comedy club aesthetic or environment where it's just very small and compact and low ceilinged, like, or lower ceilinged, right? That's supposed to generate good comedy vibes. You're combining the two things perfectly into like a tight rock club. Yeah. Why aren't there more comedy shows in rock clubs? Why is it such a novelty and not more of a common thing?
It's funny because I produced the Drew Michael thing at Reggie's. And Reggie's was mad keen to have more comedy.
Yeah.
And I tried talking Dave Attell into going there. I never spoke to Attell, his management. And I said, it's perfect for him, you know, the whole insomnia bullshit and all that. And they just bottled it in the end. They said, we don't want to piss off the improv.
They do a weekly show over at Reggie's comedy show.
They do?
Yeah, Mondays.
But it's not in the big room.
It's upstairs.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Reggie's is awesome because it's got
I've never been to Reggie's.
It's kind of weird because it's almost fake gritty, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, because someone did a rock club and said, all right, we'll make it look like a rock club, stickers everywhere, and it's, but the venue itself is perfect. The floor slopes, so you even if you're at the back, you can see just fine. Everyone's thought about the layout. There's a balcony above the bar for the posh people. So it's like everyone said, all right, let's build a rock club, but let's think about what we're doing here. And they got it right.
Is it relatively new, Reggie's? How long has it been there?
Since
I've been here.
At least 15, I would think.
More than that, I think, but
I just assumed it was always there.
So I guess what you're saying is then more comedians don't perform in rock clubs because they're beholden to the comedy club that's in town when they come through. They don't want to piss off Bert Haas or Zanies or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
And that's why they don't.
I mean,
do it
Stanhope does pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Stanhope I saw at Reggie's as well.
Yeah. I think there's something too about like, and you would know this because you think a lot about this, the staging, right? And like if you don't want to be down on the ground looking up at a comedian, right? That's no bueno, right? You want to be what, like somewhat on their level?
Yeah.
Right? What's the psychology behind that? Is there?
No, I think it's a physical comfort level more than anything.
Right.
Because, you know, you're craning up.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the people in the, when they were showing the people in their chairs on this special, a lot of them, you know,
they'd like look straight up.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was more of like a deference thing, or like a comedian doesn't want to elevate themselves above the audience to like for a
certain. Well, you need that bit of
you want to be.
You did,
on the
a comedian
level of the,
does need to be like
a little.
Yeah.
But not like.
Not like rock stuff, but yeah, there has to be a very, that's where a lot of people get the environment wrong, where they don't do lighting and sound and stuff, and it's like no, that and the feng shui of the room, if I could be pretentious, it all has to say shut up and listen to this person.
Yeah,
So the lighting, the stage, everything is about saying. And it's like, you know, you have the funnel effect. Like a perfect stage is almost, a perfect room is almost like fan-shaped with the stage.
Being the narrowest point.
At the narrowest point. So that in your mind, everything is funneling to this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what? Why I thought about when I saw that one special with the lights that yeah, were I remember funneling this. In. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, that'd be awesome at the lodge. To be a like, because in your mind you see the lights and you go, okay, that's the focal point. Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, with you saying it, it's like any seating chart looks like that, right? Like right. It's like that,
yeah.
Like the narrow stage, and then it goes out like yep. that. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting, you know, to think about comedy in a more hard rock club atmosphere. There would be a good marriage of the two. I don't think I've ever seen anything, any comedy in that type of environment to be able to judge it. So anyway, that was cool. So,
do you think they set up a whole bunch of folding chairs then where the
yeah,
pit would be?
Must yeah. Have, yeah.
And then do you think they took them out? Remember the final scene? Now, I don't want to like to oh, yeah. get too far ahead of ourselves, yeah, but the final scene, there was a standing ovation, and I was surprised. Like, really, a standing ovation? Like, are we just doing this all the time? No. But then I realized, oh, this was set up that way. She must have said, okay, I need everybody to stand up because I'm going to crowd surf out of here and then we're going to switch to the doll, right? Yeah. And I'm thinking back to that now, and it didn't seem like they were obstructed by a whole bunch of like rows of chairs in the way. Do you think they, you know, pause, we're going to remove all the chairs, now everybody back onto the floor for the, you know, for the crowd surfing
bit. So you think those chairs were gone at the end?
I'm just starting to think that maybe they were because if you think about it, nobody was like standing because they all had to pass her, you know, so they had to be closer together. There weren't chairs in between them.
Yeah. I don't know. So see, this is the kind of shit you wanted to ask Beth Stelling when she was here. She didn't have any of this kind of production shit in hers, really. She had some, but...
We forgot to ask about the sucking teeth. Oh, by the way, I was watching a movie on the plane and they said sucking teeth in the
closed caption.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember during Beth Stelling's special, the closed captioning, it said sucking teeth at the bottom. Right. We were talking about
sucking
that.
Her teeth a
I
lot.
Didn't watch it with captioning.
Yeah,
on.
but we talked about it, and that's one thing that we forgot to ask her. Yeah. But I guess that's a common
they caption that
caption.
In.
Yeah.
If you suck your teeth.
Don't suck your teeth or else they're going to tell everybody about it.
Yeah. Did you watch this special with the captions on?
No.
No.
How did you watch it? On your laptop or something? Your phone?
On telly.
You watched it on telly?
Yeah.
I watched it while trying to eat my breakfast. Oh. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of gross out humor.
Yeah, you can't eat a salad while listening to...
Oh, you're having your breakfast salad?
Is that my breakfast salad, yeah.
Did you get off your diet over there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Eating a lot of... What'd you eat a lot of? Paella?
Sandwiches. I did have paella just once, though. I'm not the biggest paella fan. Lots of sandwiches, though.
Yeah. What's their sandwich
of seafood.
Over there?
In Madrid, the popular one was a calamari sandwich, but in Barcelona, it was more like ham of some sort, you know, which... like
jamón,
cheese.
They call it there.
Right, exactly.
Jamón.
Yeah. Yeah. On some like sort of like fluffy bread that is out of this world. Every single thing. There was a little market by the hotel, so I'd go over there and get some fresh seafood too.
I said my favorite thing when I ate meat was like a ham sandwich, nice crackus Polish ham, sliced thin on like a Portuguese roll, like with the dust on it, that white flour.
Yeah, right. Oh, wow. I know what you're talking about.
The mayonnaise.
Oh, the best.
Okay, so she comes out immediately. The physical comedy, the legs are moving, the no torso.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone that looks like this, any human being that looks quite like this woman. And I'm taken aback. Were you?
Yes.
Were you taken aback by this woman's physical appearance and her energy?
Her appearance is definitely... distracting. The first thing I thought of when I saw, I hope you did this as well, when she points to a jacket with Filth Queen, I was like, that's a Dice Clay.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. But yeah, you're right. Wait.
That's the Dice, you know?
With the jacket.
That's why I'm
did
going,
he have something on the back of his jacket, though? I don't think he did.
I think he had a pair of Dice then. He
oh,
like,
maybe, yeah.
In a glitter, you know, what do you call that thing?
Yeah.
Because that's on the album
Dazzled.
Cover, right? When
I
he's
think,
like,
yeah.
And didn't he? Did he used to do it when he came out? I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
He would turn around. I think in
Yeah, because then he's prance about and bullshit. And I was like, wow, this is.
Yeah.
I would like to know on the back end if she was a Dice fan, because filth, posturing, all of that. That's Dice.
Yeah, she does have that. The leather.
Yeah.
The boots. She's. Bikery-ish. Is she from Boston?
She's from Canada. She's a Canuck.
She's Canadian?
Oh yeah,
that's right. I remember saying that. T.O. Yeah, yeah. She's Canadian, so I don't know. Maybe because Burr's from Boston. They did it in Boston. Right away I came out and said, this is a... And I'm not criticizing... Just her... Not her appearance, but like how in-your-face gross she was.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to say that now because I want to... my opinion didn't stay the same throughout this, right? Just gross, right? And the way she was gesticulating. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean by that? Like gyrating and and like her body and like... Bleh.
She spent half of the special rubbing her crotch. I seriously can't think of any time her hand was away from her private parts for more than a minute.
Yeah. She's not ladylike. She's not very ladylike, right? Yeah. Woman. And it disgusted me. I'll be quite honest. It very much disgusted me.
So
can
I play the provocateur? So if she'd been a bloke, fine. But it's a woman, no.
No, I would have been disgusted by a bloke that's out there gyrating the whole time. Is there a bloke equivalent of this that we could...
A gyrator. Andrew
Dice Clay.
I guess. Is that the closest thing? If I saw a guy wearing
the same thing, I'd...
Elvis Presley, I guess? I don't know.
Elvis did a little classier, though.
Yeah, he was a little classier. This woman was very low class.
Yeah.
In terms of her everything, right? Mm-hmm. All right, before we go any further, let's see if you can... I have to look this up, but... Spell hemorrhoid.
Oh, okay. Hemorrhoid.
Say it again.
Hemorrhoid.
Okay.
Oh, I mean OID.
Okay. Mark, don't look it up.
I'm not. I'm answering a text.
About his hemorrhoids.
H-A-E.
Hemorrhoid? Like Hephaestus?
I'm already out of it. So.
Wait, did I say two M's? I meant to say two M's.
I don't know, but I've long contended before this special, I don't know if it ever came up in here, that hemorrhoid is the most difficult word to spell.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It would stump any
right.
spelling bee contestant.
How close did I get?
It's H-E-M, and then you said H. It's H-E-M-O-R-R. H.
That's where the H
I-D.
Is. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew there was another one
could
in there.
Could never get it right. My life depended on it. And a gun to my head, I don't think I could get it right.
I had to type it this morning and I had to use the autocorrect.
You had to type it?
Yeah, I was telling somebody else what I was watching.
Oh, about the hemorrhoids?
I said it's all been hemorrhoids and I don't remember what they were on at that point.
She comes out with the hairy nipples. And then
that's what I said. It's been all about hemorrhoids and hairy nipples so far.
Hemorrhoids, hairy nipples, poop. Been in her pants, $2,000 worth of tuna, right? That the whole bit about her with that guy in that dirty basement getting choked, right? Like she's really painting in broad strokes that she is a filthy, disgusting pig, right? And I don't think I'm overstating that.
I think that she's doing that on purpose. Yeah,
she's purposely. Being a filthy, disgusting pig.
Yep.
Right. And I don't know. I thought I would like it, but I didn't. I didn't like that kind of humor. Right?
Oh.
Like, I don't want to hear that.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't help an avocado go down very well.
Well, I wouldn't think. It's not enjoyable. Did you watch this with your missus?
The missus was off to the side working on a computer, and I was what's it like? Not muting, muting it, but turning it.
It was
down.
On. Like,
so she didn't have to be exposed to it.
If she hears this,
was on three.
She's gonna go ballistic.
Yeah.
Like, get this off.
Yeah, she don't like that kind of thing.
Nope.
No. And did she hear any of it?
She did. She was.
She was like, "What are you watching?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one of those.
I got one of those.
My wife
said,
as well.
"Bill made me do it."
Yeah. Bill's choice. That's what.
Yeah.
I'm
right.
Watching.
Like, I did Valby, and now this.
Bill's favorite comic.
Okay, so the there's the material, right, which is very base and gross and, you know, doing what, you know, a dirty male comedian would do, but even more so. But what was the worst for me was the voice.
Oh, my God, that voice. Oh, Jesus.
You want me to take it into the... Like that goblin Quasimodo.
Over and over again.
Hunched over and then looking up voice. Right,
right.
But she did constantly.
Yeah.
Like, to make, as if the whole presentation wasn't disgusting enough. The material, the outfit, the gyrating. Then the goblin voice.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a lot.
And so, like, as I'm going through, I'm like, she looks like this guy I know. Right. And I wrote that down. Shout out to Jason Press. He reminds me of Jason Press. And then I'm like, she's like a Quasimodo. And then, bing, like the light bulb goes off. That's it. That's who she looks like. She looks like, and I came to this on my own, Danny DeVito in The Penguin, in the Batman movie as The Penguin.
And that's before she said
That's before she said it, and I wrote it all big and circular. Danny DeVito in The Penguin, like I had this huge aha moment. I was like, I've been trying to think of it the whole time. I'm like, that's it. Fucking A. And yeah. I couldn't wait to tell you guys. I was like, who does she look like? Who do you think she looks like? And then literally like 5 or 10 minutes later, she's like, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Look like Danny DeVito in The Penguin. I was like, motherfucker.
Nailed it.
She nailed it, and she called it out.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, okay. All right, I was disgusted.
You're starting to get attracted to her.
I don't know about attracted. Well, I want to get to that, all right? But it something has shifted. We've talked about the shift in these comedy specials. I've not laughed. I just want this to be over. I'm regretting picking this. When she calls herself out as Danny DeVito in as the Penguin, you could never say anything more self-deprecating than that. I mean, that's the most hideous looking person character ever on film, right? And she likens herself to that. I'm like, okay, all right. Uh-huh. She's laying everything bare here.
Did you reset the scoreboard?
I reset the scoreboard.
You put 2 minutes back on the clock.
I put 2 minutes back on the clock, right? And I was like, my ear just kind of tuned differently to the comedy. And yes, it was all similar, right? Like the material was similar, but because she was so self-effacing or self-deprecating, whatever it was, in calling herself out as that, I was like, let me give this girl another look. And then I started to laugh, right? Like, then like the humor, as bad as it was, and like I still didn't like that goblin voice she kept doing, she starts to win me over. And then I'm like, some of this shit is pretty good. This is some pretty good filthy humor, right? Like the bit about sucking the guy off in the sauna, right? Sending a puss pic. And then she starts to do the crowd work. Right.
Yeah, that crowd really got into it.
They were into
it. They had some answers for her.
I can't believe people were like, pics. Yeah, I take dick pics.
Right,
right, right.
I hope you know the camera is zooming in on you.
Right.
And the good people at work are seeing this.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, overall, like, well, by the end of it, like, I started to think, I was like, she's not that unattractive, you know? Like, and... clearly she is. I mean, the whole thing is gross to me. It just her personality is gross and everything. But as she becomes more self-effacing, that is what's attractive, right? Like, forget her physical appearance, the way she dresses, or what she's talking about. Someone who will lay themselves bare and just be like, this is who I am. I'm disgusting. These are all my... you know, my idiosyncrasies and, you know, gross things about me. That is an attractive quality to me when somebody does that. Now, that looks different in different people, but like when somebody can be that honest and, you know, say what everybody, you know, would never admit type of thing, I find that attractive. My wife's going to take umbrage with this and say, oh, you find that woman attractive? That's not what I'm saying. I find that aspect of her personality,
you're covering your bases right now,
is attractive. And in my own relationship with my wife, you know, as we get older and we're together longer, I honestly find her more attractive as a person. Right, this is me coming, coming true here, right? Because she reveals more of her true self, and as she does, she becomes a more attractive person to me. That also leads to more tender lovemaking and a greater intimacy, right? That as we get older is reaching unbelievable heights, and I hope this happens for you as well, or is happening for you as well. But the more truthful you can get, the more you can reveal yourself, the more intimate and close you can get, and the climaxes you will have are unbelievable.
You're listening to Sex Lives of the Middle Age with Dr. Bill O'Donnell.
It's just unfortunate the listener doesn't get the eye contact that we receive.
Yeah. Well, I look you dead in the eyes when I say that.
We're getting cameras. Next week, the cameras are on. The cameras are on next week.
Yeah. If we knew we were in for this sort of treat, we would have had him on already.
Yeah. So I appreciated that about her as a performer, right? Like, it comes off too much. And I think if she had someone like you in her corner, or Bert Haas, to clean some of this up and repackage this material a little better or a little differently, so that, like, you don't get cudgeled over the head from, you know, the beginning with this stuff.
Wait. This is a turnaround.
What?
This isn't the nihilist Bill O'Donnell approach to comedy. Do what you're going to do and never vary from it.
I guess so, but I was thinking about that nihilist stuff, right? Like, would a nihilist have, the last time we were together, spared his friend from COVID the way I did? No, I would. If I was a nihilist, I'd be like, fuck, you get COVID, I don't give a fuck. I spared him.
And test positive.
My friend.
Oh. You!
Oh, I'm my friend?
If I was a nihilist, would I have stayed home and done the show from home that day?
Why are you yelling at me? I never said you were a nihilist.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling. I'm yelling.
So when you,
I'm
how
no
long
nihilist. I care about people.
Whatever happened, I don't know. This is going to have to be edited out. Whatever happened to you? Do you have cancer?
No. No. I don't know.
So you don't have that, and you didn't have COVID.
I don't think I had COVID. But I had been exposed and I didn't feel well. It turns out I needed to rest, I think, more than anything that day. I was just feeling very run down. But I was exposed to COVID the night before.
I'm glad that you don't have cancer.
Well, I don't know that.
I've been very concerned about that, and I keep forgetting to ask.
I appreciate your
concern. I hope it
wasn't
the wrong time to bring it up.
No, it's not. But the truth of the matter is I don't know, because I have to go through another battery of tests next month, and I will know more then. And then we'll figure it out. But for now, I'm okay, I think.
Good. I'll take that.
Yeah. So what else do you want to say about this woman? Were you as equally turned off throughout the special as you were clearly at the beginning, as you expressed earlier? Or did she win you over, like Rocky won over the crowd in Rocky IV?
I mean, I'd melted a little bit towards
you melted
the end,
a little bit?
Not to any significant degree. Well, you know what I did find funny is, you know, you get adverts when you're watching it on Netflix, and all the adverts that I saw throughout her thing were all for depression drugs.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, Canel, is this TV reading my thoughts?
I don't get the ad. Well, maybe I don't have the ads on this one for Netflix. I haven't seen the ads.
Well, if you filled in your profile, you're going to get related things. So,
do you think that was about her act or about your?
I think the TV was like, man, he looks bombed over there. Let me give him some depression adverts. I don't know. There's nothing in this thing for me.
Nothing.
There's too many turnoffs. There's nothing in the material that offers me anything of the witty, erudite, satirical, surreal.
I think there's some surrealism in here. I mean, just in terms of how graphic and candid she is, that to me is surreal in its own way. But
I mean,
erudite, no.
There was tiny little sparkles of light every now and again where I thought, oh, there's something coming that I might like, and then it shut it down with some more film.
Yeah, I think if she had presented it differently, right? Like, if she didn't... If she just spoke instead of screaming goblin voice.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it would have been better received, I think.
Because after a while, you just stop listening, you know, and it's just like when you're being bombarded, you just start to tune it out.
Yes.
That'd be a good social experiment with stand-up comedy, to have two people deliver the exact same material to two different audiences, but with, you know, same material, different persona.
Or even the same person.
And actually...
Yeah, the same person.
Yeah. And then see if there's a marked, like... The problem is there's too many variables between audiences, like, to really go, to get a clinical,
so you
gotta
do it like
scientific...
Five times each, you know?
Yeah,
do
yeah.
five of the outlandish one, five of the calm, you know?
And then...
And take an average.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's, you know, no accounting for taste. I mean, someone might like what we hate, right?
Right,
like they think that's funny and like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's people there. They bought tickets. They had the wristbands.
Yeah.
But in terms of how material is received and perceived, like if she'd have kind of walked out with like just mousy brown hair and like a, you know, like a Rita Rudner.
Right.
Delivery, would that have opened the door to liking this?
Yeah, I wonder. Because then it might be, you're looking, you're expecting one thing and then you're getting another. It might be more of a surprise.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, there's two sorts of female filth comics. There's the, look at me, I'm brassy, I'm bold, I'm giving you what you expect from me. And then there's the one that comes out looking like a librarian.
Right.
And filths it up.
Yeah, I like that kind.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if certainly the males in the audience are going, okay, one is acceptable and one I'm not buying. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I think a lot of female comedians would say, yes, that is what is happening.
But didn't you get a sense, if you stay with it the whole time, that like she's not this character, right? Like,
well, if the situation she's describing she has been in, she is this character.
Yeah,
if those are real, you know, she could have just
those
made them up
and be all, you know, as well as anybody, they could be all manufactured stories. But I think it's an unnecessary character, right? Like, it doesn't need to be that. Like, I'm sure she's self-conscious in some ways about her looks and her appearance, but she doesn't need to present herself like that, like the most off-putting person in the world.
Right.
Right.
Did you see that the get-up was actually a fake dinner jacket, essentially?
Oh, it was a onesie, wasn't it?
No, it was like shorts and a thing. And if you look closely, you're like, oh, I get what they're doing. It's like a fake tuxedo, but with like cut-off shorts and sleeveless and stuff.
She said it was a romper in the beginning.
Yeah,
it's got the trim on, though, to make it look like a dinner jacket and stuff.
Yeah.
You can't really see it so well. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing else I haven't mentioned yet. The sound was awful.
It was?
Did you get that?
No.
It almost sounded like the sound was from an ambient microphone rather than the one in front of a gob.
Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't notice.
It might be because I kept turning it down so my missus couldn't hear it. And then turning it back up again.
It was kind of interesting that she just walked out with the mic in her hand. You know, there wasn't the classic, the microphone's on the stand and the comedian approaches it. And then takes the microphone off the stand, moves the stand aside, you know?
Yeah, how did she? I don't remember.
Remember at the end of that whole, like, opening bit, you know, where she's all over Boston. She's backstage and she just takes the wireless mic off the top of the stand and walks out with it in her hand.
Yeah, that was cool. Hmm. Yeah, I thought that was different. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anything else, Christian?
I've got nothing else.
You got nothing else on this?
No.
Okay, well, what do we want to say here? Smelly dicks? Who was the comedian that we watched who talked about like a smelly. Oh no, that was not it. That was
Valby.
No, not Valby. I was thinking of a real life story where I was at a bar and we were watching the last Cubs playoff game, and we were standing at Murphy's in the back, and there was this table of younger than us people. And this guy was like this good looking guy, and he was kind of telling stories at the table. And I was just standing there with my wife, and I was watching the game, but she was watching the table and like listening to them. And the guy was like going around saying how he was eating this woman out and how bad her box smelled. Right. And then he would go to the, you know, move chairs and go to somebody else at the table and be like, yeah, I was eating this girl's box. And he like kept telling the story. It made me think of her. And I was like, I thought that was a comedian, but it made me think of her saying how, you know, that guy's penis smelled.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Turnaround's fair play, I guess. Right? Your vagina can smell and your penis can smell.
Yeah. Anything can smell, especially a nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever notice your penis smells?
I notice that I smell sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the penis specifically.
I forgot to put the coconut thing on.
Oh. You still have some of that? I went through mine already.
I bought like eight sticks.
Oh, you bought
it.
A case.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be in it for a while?
Drop on something like that at the dollar store. You got to just
pass that up.
Yeah.
You got to get it all.
Yeah, you love it.
Yep.
You love a coconut smell. All right, well, smelly dicks, I give, well, you go first.
Wait.
Out of how many?
Smelly dicks are bad, though, right?
Yeah, but this
but is, in this case,
this
they're
stars,
good.
Yeah, right?
They're
how many stars? How many smelly dicks? Or how many puss picks? You want to do puss picks? That I liked. I thought that was funny. You know, like, you always talk about dick picks, but you ever talk about how women... You know, obsess over a good puss pick.
I can say this hand on heart. I have never felt the need to give or receive a picture of genitals.
No, I haven't either.
It's bizarre to me.
But that's a thing. Don't ask him. He's all quiet over there.
Yeah.
No, I. You don't know me.
Quiet is guilt.
No, it's not.
In the realm of podcasts.
Oh, please.
You don't know me. You don't know me. Got real quiet over here.
See, if we'd have had the boing.
I know. Perfect.
Man, we missed. This is the worst episode to miss the sound effects on.
Yeah, there have been some good ones. Yeah.
A filth special.
Now that we know what we're missing.
Demanded sound effects.
Did you ever see that that PSA? You guys are probably too young, but there was a PSA during Saturday morning cartoons. It was from the U.S. Dairy Council. It was to hawk cheese, right? Like there was like, eat more cheese. And it was this guy who had long legs and boots. He was like a cowboy and he was a piece of cheese. And he'd say, a hanker for a hunk and a vow down chunker, a hanker for a hunk of cheese.
Nope.
You don't remember that?
No idea.
Funnily enough.
You wouldn't remember, but you might.
British public service announcements were generally things warning you against getting electrocuted at substations or drowning in ponds. But American public service announcements
eat more cheese.
Eat cheese.
Get your hands on some cheese, guy.
Yeah, eat more cheese.
Hey, when's the last time you had a nice Swiss?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, indeed.
Here, I'm going to show you.
All right, let's can do our rankings. Are you going to play it?
No, well, I could, but... That was the cheese guy. That looks like her, right?
Yeah.
A hanker for a hunk of cheese.
Oh boy.
Fair.
Okay. All right, how many puss picks how many is the best? Five? Four?
Five okay. Puss picks.
Five is the best.
Wagon Wheel was a chocolate bar in England, so he's kind of plugging both ends at a dietary scale.
Well, they were trying to get rid of all that cheese because more people were drinking skim milk, and so they skimmed all the fat, and so the U.S. dairy had all this extra cheese. That's why you see so much cheese in the cheese aisle now, is because of all the excess fat from the cheese. They just can't. They don't have anywhere to go with it.
Do you ever think about how much cheese is offered? All the different varieties and shapes.
There's
and
so much cheese.
So much cheese. But and they put cheese on everything. It's the U.S. Dairy Council.
You can go out to a restaurant and get a plate of just cheeses.
Yeah,
just cheese. Only cheeses.
Cheese. Anyway, listeners, go watch Hanker for a Hunk of Cheese, and you'll see Steph Toler.
It feels
like Steph Toler. All right. Five puss picks. How many puss picks, Mark, would you give Steph Tolev's filth queen 2025?
Zero.
You're giving her zero? A zero?
Zero.
You don't give me any stars for my comedy special? Zero? Come on, bro. Zero? You don't see anything redeeming here? Any talent? She's laying it bare.
There's nothing in this material of interest to
wow.
me.
Wow. Wow.
Is that wow. the first zero that you've given? Or did you
yeah, I think I normally give one. Yeah.
Or a half.
Cursory,
yeah. You right. won't even give this gal a half.
Nope.
Would you book her if she, you know, her agent said, hey, like Steph Tolev's coming through, she'd love to do the Lincoln Lodge. Would you book her? She gets a you know, big crowd.
I don't book this place. So it's a
would you if you
question.
Did? If you did,
I
you
gave up booking long ago. I can't even attune my brain to the act of booking anymore.
All right.
Seriously.
Okay. Jesus. Fucking. All right. Yeah. He gives it zero yeah. out of five puss picks.
Yeah. I'm going to switch to stinky dicks. I give it one stinky dick just for showing up, you know?
Just for showing up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I got just, she, I mean, she did it, you know, she was there.
It's a participation award.
Right, exactly.
You're giving her a participation award?
Yeah, attendance.
Okay, that leaves me then. I'd like to work with her. I feel like I could really take this act somewhere. You know? Like I feel like there's something great at the heart of it. It just needs to be repackaged.
See that I'm interested in.
You know, like yeah. I think there's really something here. I'd like to work Steph if you're out there listening. You know, give a call to the Lincoln Lodge. If you're still listening, I think we could really do something good here.
I would love
let me be your manager
to send an email one day saying, I heard your podcast. I'm suing you. I'm running you out of this game. That would be amazing.
Me specifically?
No, just
us
in general, yeah.
Could that happen?
I don't know.
God, now you get me worried. I'll give her five plus picks.
What?
Because I don't want to get sued.
Get out of here.
I'm giving every comedian five plus picks.
Wow.
We have the right to review public art, right?
I don't know.
Does that change your vote?
Yeah, that's why I gave five.
Yeah, but would it change your vote? I mean, it's not slander.
It's not slander, right?
No.
It's not libel.
What I said about that one guy being a
oh, the guy at the table eating the stinky box?
No, I don't know who that was, but no,
why did
that
he tell
one comedian?
Was he getting better at telling the story the whole time?
I don't know, but he told it twice to two different people at the table.
Oh, it was only twice.
And the woman's box stank.
All right, I'll give this positive spin. Still not as bad as Brett Goldstein. I'm not even putting it on the table.
She's way better than Brett Goldstein.
I know.
This gal's
saying.
A comedian. You might not like it, right? But she's a comedian. She's a performer. Brett Goldstein.
She's a comedian.
Brett Goldstein had material about laundry.
Yeah, he's terrible.
That's the worst.
They're bringing back Ted Lasso,
I hope he emails us and sues us. I'd gladly pay that bill just to tell him again.
I think he's too nice to.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing Beth didn't know all the shit we said about him. They're friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mo Welch directed it.
All right. Let's get out of here. I'm going to give it 2.5.
All right.
Post picks.
All right.
All right.
Yep. All right. We got to do next. Wait, you sub. Yeah, it's on you, Mark, right?
Yep. Let's stay with the female.
Yeah, I love
genre.
It.
Genre. All right. And what I'm going to say is I was actually talking to a good friend of mine, Mr. CJ Toledano, who is married to our next comedian.
Whoa.
Megan Gailey, who is someone we know. And he assured me that Megan would be more than happy to discuss.
Oh, really?
Okay. The outcome of our review.
Wonderful.
And Megan's a charming lass. So Megan Gailey.
Will you have a call in?
Yeah, we have to get this phone thing.
Megan Gailey, live from my driveway.
All right.
Available on YouTube, folks.
Okay. That's the best.
All right. I know nothing about Megan Gailey, but I'm excited.
I like when it's on YouTube.
Well,
there's another reason I picked it, which I'll leave it hanging out.
We know
there.
That's got to be a surprise.
I'll leave it hanging out there as bait. All right.
Well, we're already gonna have to say we like it because
it's
coming on.
Right. That's why I'm already acting excited.
No, that's why I picked it because Megan honestly wouldn't give a shit
if we shit on it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be comfortable.
Yeah, I can't do that anyway.
It's going to be like The View on here. It's going to fawn all over, but that's okay. I like it.
All right.
You know? All right. All right, Gong Man.